Welcome back to A Game Night on the Incomparable Network. It's me, Tony Sindelar, here to host another game show for your amusement. Today, we're doing something spooktacular. We are going to play a game called Ghost Court. That's right, it combines your two favorite things, ghosts and hopefully court. Together, I have assembled a group of nine spooky people to play judges, bailiffs, and litigants in the most important ghost-themed court show you will listen to today. Joining me first, in approximate order of play, but not quite, it's Glenn Fleischman.
Hello, I bring my supernatural gift to destroy games.
Always good to include you here, Glenn. From far across the ocean, it's James Thompson.
I brought all the dice. I need dice, right?
There are no dice in this game.
No dice.
Oh, well, I've messed this up already.
Mm-hmm. My favorite unicorn, your favorite unicorn, it's Kathy Campbell.
That's me. I'm here and ready to be spoopy.
Everyone's favorite dungeon buddy, Micah Sargent.
Ahoy. Hello. Apparently I am a pirate ghost.
Yarmity.
Some ghost names need voices need workshopping. Everyone's favorite Dan Morin.
This is the Night Court spinoff we deserve.
Everyone's favorite Shelley. This mechanic may be dying out quickly. Amazingly, Shelley Brisbane.
Hello, the second uses of charm. It is. I know a couple of them, but we don't talk about them. It is fall, and I come to you cowering from under my judicial robes. I peek out occasionally to see what's happening. Hi, y'all.
Hi. Next up, Monty Ashley.
I was also going to do a Night Court reference, and I haven't thought of something else to say.
Sorry.
Can I do any game without Eric Ensign? I mean, yes, but those usually don't go very well. So here's Eric Ensign.
Oh, no, there's so much pressure on me now. Mm-hmm. I'm still happy to be here.
Okay, good. Just saying. And last, but certainly not least, Brian Hamilton.
My local mall's ghost court has a Popeyes. Does it have a Popeyes, or do I have to go to like a KFC or something?
Oh, all the eyes are popping.
Popeyes, no ghost. Popeyes.
So I will just make a confession here. I think I've discussed this on another Incomparable podcast, so it's not breaking news. I've never seen an episode of Night Court, but I have seen probably 500 episodes of Law and Order. So I still don't entirely understand the premise of a Night Court and how that premise.
It's a court at
a
night.
Show.
That's the entire premise.
It's the stuff that's not important enough to make it to Law and Order.
You see, that's the right. Judge is a young guy named Harry Stone, and he's a magician who loves El Torme.
He's multi-classing. Okay.
Your entire legal system makes no sense to me.
Anyway. Don't worry, it doesn't make sense to us either.
The only reason he's a judge is he was... Sorry, go ahead.
We shall never know.
Just another lens into our fascinating
Monty is the
American
ancient mariner
system.
For Night Court. You've invited him on.
So, listeners, what are we going to do? This is basically an improv game where we're going to rotate through some sets of people getting a chance to be judges, bailiffs, plaintiffs, and defendants in ghost-themed litigation. This is a game that you can purchase. I purchased it. It's available both as you can buy a physical version of it, a digital version of it, or even a Roll20 version of it. So you have lots of options if you listen to this and are like, hey, I'd like to do something spooky themed with my next Zoom hangout over in October. Is that a thing people do? I don't have friends. So today we are going to play Ghost Court. It is suggested that I read this premise here, so I'll do this in a vaguely dramatic reading. What you are about to witness is real. The participants are not actors. They are the living people and ghosts who have already either filed suit or been served a summons to appear in municipal court. Both parties in the suit have agreed to dismiss their court case and have their dispute settled here in our forum. Ghost Court. Woo! Chain rattle.
Best.
Yep. Thank you, Dan. So we will attempt to get through these. It is on the judge to deliver speedy justice. Theoretically, each court case should be around 5 minutes. It's on the bailiff to introduce cases and keep things in order. Our first grouping, we have Glenn Fleischman as
Judge Bloodworth.
We have James Thompson as?
Bailiff Duran, Alan Duran.
Okay. And let's see, we are going to assign some plaintiffs and defendants here. So our first plaintiff and defendant will be Kathy and Brian. Kathy, I'm just going to make you the plaintiff, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
All right. And so we join court just as things are about to begin. It looks like the bailiff is ready to commence with proceedings.
You would think. All rise. Oye, oye, oye. The Honorable Judge Bloodworth is now sitting for the dispatch of this honorable court's business. You may be seated.
By my court, I won't take any nonsense. I want fair proceedings among the living and the dead. And I hear that there is a case before me of Hersey versus Tamlin. Will the people involved please stand up and tell me what in tarnations they want?
Your Honor, I was driving as normal. It was a beautiful day. I was under the Russell Avenue Bridge, and then suddenly something came out of nowhere, scared the bejesus out of me, and I had minor but noticeable damage to my BMW 7 Series, and I really need to be compensated. This was completely disrespectful. I can handle living with ghosts. It's fine. I have no prejudice against them. However, my car is totaled. But not really. But yes, it's totally totaled.
All right, Hersey. Now let's hear from the defendant in this case.
Troy Tamlin at your service. Now, I have been haunting this beer avenue for at least 60 years. Everybody knows that I am the Russell Avenue ghost. Troy Tamlin, Russell Avenue ghost. It is known by everybody in the area. Now, I've been floating around minding my own business. If pedestrians get rights, then ghosts floating above the road under the bridge should get rights as well. Does a bird flying out from under the bridge scare the bejesus out of you and totally total your BMW? I don't think so. I have just as much of a right to float wistfully above the creek as anybody else.
Well, the facts are not quite clear yet, so I need to ask more questions. Will the plaintiff explain what actually manifested, what they think they saw?
I'm not really sure because clearly I was driving, paying attention to the road. My hands were at 10 and 2, the way that they're supposed to be. And suddenly this white thing just came out of nowhere, completely distracting me. I didn't see any signs of ghost crossing, which is how it's supposed to be. I have read the rules about proper ghost labeling. And if he's clearly, the specter of Russell Avenue Bridge, you would expect the signage to be correct. And it's not. I'm a visitor to this area, and it was just completely disrespectful of any visitors to not, because I don't know who he is. I haven't heard any of the lore. I read all of the appropriate documentation for the area to make sure that I wasn't crossing any ghost parameters as need be, but it was just completely disrespectful of my space, and I really, totally just need my car fixed. That's it.
Oh, give me a break, Hersey. You obviously didn't see the two tombstones tied together, thrown up above the power wires, which indicates my presence at that bridge.
Now, wait a minute here. Defendant Tamlin, in the past, you've never actually damaged anybody's vehicles. You've only caused them a scare. So what's going on here? Are you saying you're upping your game? Does the warning need to be changed? Are you at fault here for causing damage?
I need order
and bailiff. Smack these people around a little.
Whoa, hey now, excuse me.
With a ghost truncheon, it doesn't hurt.
Wow.
All I was doing was making a cup of ghost coffee in my loft under the bridge, as is known by all of the school children. And if it's known by the school children, then it must be known by Hersey.
I have a simple question here, though. I have a simple question here, though, which is, according to this piece of ghostly paper just handed to me, the plaintiff was texting while driving. Is that true, Plaintiff Hersey?
What's texting? I was alive in the 1860s.
It's using a chisel on a screen of some kind.
I chiseled out the tombstones on my telephone wire?
This is much quicker.
I completely disagree. I would never do such a thing. I clearly, especially in a place that's brand new, I haven't been here before, I need to pay attention. I would never text. That's just not my vibe.
What damage is on your car, perchance? I don't quite understand your newfangled modern cars, but what damage?
I don't think the court has ever established what you're looking for. What kind of recompense do you actually want?
I need my BMW fixed. That's all. I'm more than happy to take it to a body shop of the court's choosing.
I think that's an offensive term, and I'd like it stricken from the record.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We need to wrap this up. We have other cases.
Well, I have my judgment is clear. I sentence. I'm sorry. I sentence the plaintiff to eternal high insurance rates, but also order the defendant to pay all damages over a period of 1,000 years.
What? Oh, okay, that's fine.
Wait a second. So, like, it's going to take 1,000 years.
My decisions are final.
I object.
There's no objections in this court.
Listen, once a week, I will give you. Once a week, I'll give you a quarter. How's that? That should cover it over the course of 1,000 years.
The court finds it's acceptable. Plus, please.
I'll remind Ghost that they have no monetary.
I'll find him on the sidewalk.
It's right. Every time the defendant scares someone, money flies out of their pockets. It seems
it's like Mario, which I don't know about.
Bailiff, clear these people and dead people from my courtroom. I think we have another case.
Shoving them out with a broom and a ghost trap.
Ah, I've been swept.
I'm filing an appeal. That's
totally how that works. All decisions of Ghost Court are final.
And bad.
Well, listeners, that was a quick insight into how certain types of justice are handled. It looks like we have another case coming up just this moment for the same judge. We'll see what precedents he sets.
The next case that I bring is Sturt-Hannes versus Sturt-Hannes. This is a property dispute between two living people concerning the care and upkeep of a ghost dog.
Dan and Shelley, please approach the bench or the, you know, the people that you're pretending to be.
Oh, you.
Yeah.
The pretend bench.
Your Honor, Murray Sturt-Hannes here, attorney at law, representing myself. This is the case of a dog, our beloved Hauntweiler. And early in my marriage to the defendant, we adopted Hauntweiler, the most adorable ghost dog you could love. And it did bring us closer. But since our relationship has now come to an end, Your Honor, my former spouse refuses to take any responsibility. Hauntweiler is running rampant. I have a full-time job, a caseload that demands my attention. I simply cannot be picking up after this dog every hour of every day. It is incumbent upon her to share the responsibility of its feedings of souls and its ectoplasm cleanup, and I simply may not be allowed to do this all by myself. That is frankly unconscionable as per the equal disposition of assets after a marriage.
That is enough from you, sir.
Thank you, bailiff. Will the defendant proceed, please?
Your Honor, first of all, you're looking lovely today. I like that robe a lot. That color is very fetching. So, yes, we adopted this dog at the insistence of my spouse. I enjoyed the presence of the Hauntweiler. Having a ghost rescue dog was certainly a challenge, but I was up to it. But it was ultimately not my choice to bring that dog into the house. My spouse wanted that dog and begged and pleaded that we take the dog, and I was happy to do that to please him. But now that our relationship has ended, I feel like his devotion to the dog should be reflected in its custody arrangements. It's not my fault that he has chosen to have a full caseload and choose the accumulation of money over caring for his beloved pet. I'm simply trying to live my life and get on with it after a painful marriage.
Well, as the bailiff, I think the outcome of this case is clear, but I will hand it over to the judge.
Thank you, bailiff.
You also look nice in your bailiff outfit, I might add.
Thank you.
I object to this.
Objection overruled. Your partiality as a bailiff is admirable. Mr. Sturt-Hannes, I believe you've admitted one very critical aspect of this case. When you died, that's when the marriage ended. You were dead. your ex-wife, as you call her, is living.
I am as alive as the next person. I am flesh and blood.
I'm afraid to tell the judge that they are both alive.
That seems impossible. A man like this, still alive.
His pallor suggests otherwise.
What? Why is he atoning for his sins by appearing over and over in a courtroom for eternity? I don't understand. Anyway, all right. Well, let me look. The court didn't present me enough documents.
He's a lawyer. He's dead inside, but he's not actually dead.
Very good. You get a raise.
Sustained
for that joke. Shut up. I want to take any nonsense in my court. Perhaps I've been drinking as well. Let's see here. So you expect the living to clean up after the dead? This never makes any sense to me in the first place. You should be hiring a dead housekeeper, as the rest of us do. Who wishes to have full possession of the dead dog? Who wants to have the dog full time?
I think it's only fair that we share custody of the dog since we brought it into this marriage together.
And the defendant, do you have a statement about this?
Your Honor, the Hauntweiler was definitely the pet of my former husband, and I believe it would be detrimental not only to our ability to get on with our lives and not have to have a relationship together, but also detrimental to the Hauntweiler to be torn between us. I think the Hauntweiler, our beloved dog, should be able to attach itself to one parent, and I believe my spouse is the best choice, my ex-spouse is the best choice.
It's very generous of you to throw all of that on me and to get away without doing any of the work yourself, but well, you I had as I much a part of bringing this into this family as I did.
I demand silence in my court because I have the perfect ruling. Because I have the judgment of Solomon, I will split the dog in half, and Mr. Strapanis will get the back half and do all the cleaning, and Mr. Strapanis will get the front half and enjoy, and that is my ruling because it is perfect in every way. As we know, ghost dogs can survive at any
ghost
portion.
Dogs are amazing, apparently.
Okay. That is one form of justice. Let us take a quick jog down the hallway of our courthouse to check in on proceedings in another court. I think we're down in courtroom two here, and it looks like Monty and Erica, you are going to be our judge bailiff combo here. Mm-hmm. Monty, you okay being the judge?
Yeah.
All right. Erica, you'll be the bailiff. Erica, I have messaged you some information about the first case here. Let me get my litigants lined up. I think Micah and Glenn, you are going to be our litigants. Micah will be Jenkins, the plaintiff. And Glenn, you're going to be, I believe it's Lucrezio, the defendant. I am sending you those. Erica, when you're ready, you can use that. I can paste the defendant or the bailiff speech in if you want. Monty, you should pick a judge name, and you'll announce the court, the case, Erica, and try and keep people on time.
All right. Yeah, Monty, what is your ghost judge or your judge name, and are you a ghost?
I am a ghost. My name is Judge Stone, Judge Tom Stone, Judge Tom B. Stone.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Nice. I approve. Got it. For the record, I am bailiff. Nominative determinism. It's a thing.
I assume that this is a secret Doctor Who reference.
It's not.
All right. Take it away, bailiff.
All right. All rise. Oyez, oyez, oyez. The Honorable Ghost Judge Tom B. Stone is now sitting for the dispatch of this honorable court's business. You may be seated.
Bailiff, what do you have for me?
I've got a good one for you, Judge. Your first case will be Jenkins versus Lucretio. This is a contract dispute between the living owner of Ye Old Haunted Well, Inc. and an employee ghost. Let's turn it over to the plaintiff first. Please introduce yourself before stating the facts of your case.
Your Honor, I am Constance Jenkins, and I run Ye Old Haunted Well.
What exactly is the problem, Constance Jenkins?
Ah, Your Honor, well, you see, I run a haunted well that also happens to be a gift shop and also a miniature golf park. You see, I like sort of the combo deal there. And frankly, things have been going well up to a certain point, at which Lucretio, my employee who's a ghost, has decided to start slacking off. You see, if you don't have a ghost, then it's not a haunted well, it's just ye old well. And, well, no one likes visiting that kind of well. You know, I pay my employees a livable wage, or in this case, I guess, an unlivable wage. I make sure that my employees are happy, and I frankly lock them into contracts that make sure that they are doing the job they're supposed to do when they're supposed to be doing it. And Lucretio, who signed a contract, has not been doing their job.
Are you serious?
Man, Lucretio.
Well, I don't want to cast any aspersions on a good Lady Jenkins, because she has been a good and kind employer, but I found myself, as the years have weighed on, hundreds of years now, even though I signed the contract, I used to shout "Ooh!" from the bottom of the well, and now I find myself saying things like, "Have you visited your mother lately? She misses you." It seems like I could use my powers of being thrown down a well for all of the past sins I committed to help redeem others instead of frighten them, to help them become higher beings of higher consciousness, to remind them to brush their teeth and floss. We had no teeth in my days, and these people do. They should preserve them. I just want to do good now. I don't feel that haunting is something I can do.
Objection, Your Honor. The haunted well is not about goodness.
Overruled.
Oh, thank you so much, Your Honor. I can't.
Bailiff,
can't
please credit Lucretio with the time.
Indeed.
Spent you listening to me say this sentence.
Your Honor is so just. I would also like, from a legal standpoint, I went to a pro bono attorney who suggested to me that perhaps it's not a legal matter for a ghost to sign a contract that lasts.
Sir, I'm afraid you're
for
going
eternity
to have to wrap it up. Your time
well,
is coming.
I don't think the contract is legal at all. I have no objection to how I was treated, but I can't continue, and I don't think I should be forced to.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
Madam Jenkins, is it true that Lucretio has been giving people good advice?
I suppose it depends on your definition of good.
But has Lucretio been in the well, haunting it?
I suppose Lucretio makes that suggestion, but I would say that Lucretio signed an agreement to be a spooky ghost in the well, not a helpful ghost in the well. I've got Casper for that.
I do remind them that they're going to get cavities.
Do you have a copy of the contract here?
In fact, I do! And Jenkins unrolls this spooky ghost. It's sort of like half in this world, half in the ethereal realm contract that's like, you know, it keeps unrolling, very Scooby-Doo-like. Yeah. And I hand it to the bailiff.
Anyone could have put that X there. I mean, come on.
Lucretio, you said you were thrown into the well for your past sins?
Yes, I suggested that earth, wind, fire, and water might not be the only elements, and of course that was a crime in my time, and I was killed for it.
Oh, dear.
Oh, if you were not already dead, I would sentence you to be thrown into a well.
You shouldn't have mentioned the elements, sir. Please direct your comments elsewhere.
But in this case, I confess, the contract does say you must be a spooky ghost. May I suggest, Lucretio, that you find some spooky way of recommending dental care?
That would be agreeable. Cavities are terrifying.
What if I said, you will get cavities unless you floss appropriately?
Perfect.
Thank you.
It is so judged.
I call this court.
I'm satisfied.
Close. All right, Your Honor, we have another case coming in. All rise. Oye, oye, oye. The Honorable Judge Tom Beestone is now sitting for the dispatch of this honorable court's business. You all may be seated. Our next case is, I believe it's Prohl versus Foxwell. It's a personal injury claim. We have a living plaintiff and a ghostly defendant. Please introduce yourself before stating the facts of your case. And I turn to the plaintiff.
The name's Cornelius Prohl. If I may say so, you're looking very ethereal today, Judge.
Keep your comments on the case, please. I will thank you to do so.
I was just stating the facts.
Thank you, bailiff.
So I was coming out of the Seabreeze dry cleaners on Straw Street, and I was ambushed, frankly, attacked by this terrifying yet strangely attractive ghost, the defendant. And I was just terrified, and I just couldn't take in what I was seeing, and I slipped and fell. I believe it was a slice of pizza. I don't know if it was ghost pizza or not. And I slipped, I fell, I injured my neck, my hip, and I am looking for medical expenses.
And Mr. Ms. or the Honorable Deceased Foxwell, what do you have to say?
Greetings, Your Honor. I am Agatha Foxwell, and I am well known in this area. I haunt Seabreeze dry cleaners. I have the appropriate documentation and signage in the area, so any visitors that must attend the dry cleaners know that I am there, and I am very good at my job. I radiate menace and terror everywhere, so clearly I succeeded. And as you can see in the signage at the dry cleaners, all injuries are not liable by me, or whatever that wordage is. Clearly, I'm not a judge like yourself.
You can stop radiating menace and terror for a few minutes, surely, Madam Foxwell.
At least
while you're in my courtroom.
Yes, Your Honor.
Do you dispute the accusation of ambush?
I saw there was no signage visible whatsoever. And if there was, I did not see it.
What's all this about a ghost pizza? You kind of threw that in, and I wasn't clear whether you were attacked by a pizza or slipped on pizza.
I slipped, and it appeared to be a pizza, but...
What appeared to be a pizza? Did you slip on pizza? Were you carrying pizza? Were you getting pizza dry cleaned?
No, I was not carrying. Why would I carry pizza into a dry cleaner? That would just defeat
me. I'm just trying to find out the facts, Mr. Prohl.
I slipped on something which I believe to have been a slice of pizza. It was dragged away by rats, so I have no evidence of this. But, you know, I think that just goes to show the... state of this establishment, if they are actually employing somebody to scare their customers. I mean, it makes no sense.
I don't understand the logic behind it, but I just do my job the way that I'm supposed to. I'm sorry, sir, that you dropped your
Please
pizza.
Please address the judge only. You are not to address the other party in the case. Thank you.
Thank you, bailiff.
Terribly sorry, bailiff. I'm so flustered. I've never in my 200 years of haunting this area, I have never had such a horrible incident.
It was horrible for me.
Please address the judge only. You will not address the other litigant in this case, sir.
I was not addressing anyone other than the court.
That is quite enough, Mr. Prohl. Miss Foxwell, did you see this alleged ghost pizza?
I don't really pay attention to whatever food items as a ghost yourself, Your Honor. You can understand food just kind of becomes part of, you know, the scenery. So I cannot confirm nor deny whether there was pizza of any sort.
I'm afraid, Madam Foxwell, you have made a grave.
Very good.
Error. Very good, Your Honor. Admitting to negligence When you are haunting someone, you must be aware of everything around them. Terrifying, yes. Attractive, yes. But always, when radiating menace and terror, be aware of any injuries you might cause. This court finds for the plaintiff. Madam Foxwell, your wages from the dry cleaners will be garnished for 3 years.
What percentage of my wages shall be garnished?
The second.
The math will be done later.
72%.
I accept this ruling.
You have no choice but to accept this ruling. Neither does the defendant. Please leave the courtroom. Our work is done for today. Thank you very much, Judge.
Let's go get a pizza.
Man, I like a bailiff who knows how to throw a courtroom
around. Yeah.
That was like barroom brawling, you know, bouncer bailiff.
Bailiff. Like I said, bailiff, nominative determinism. Been studying this stuff since I was a very little kid.
A very little bailiff.
anyway, wow. First name, Bailey.
Bailey.
Mm. Ooh, like it.
Well, I think it is time to head down the hall to the third courtroom, third courtroom here in the Ghost Courthouse and see what's happening there. Let's see here. I believe we will be in the courtroom of, Justice, Scarlia. Is that correct, Shelley?
That's correct.
All right. So, Shelley's going to be the judge. Dan will be the bailiff. Dan, do you have a bailiff name for us?
Yes, I will be Bailiff Griggs.
Okay. And
there's no truth to the rumor that we were married at one time.
Conflict of interest.
Ooh, common misconception.
Who's dead and who's alive, though? That's the.
Mm-mm.
Oh, I'm Ghost Justice
let's see.
For sure.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to. Let's see here. Micah, I've sent you the plaintiff file. Monty, you're going to be the defendant. We may have a witness. Let's keep the witness brief. Chris Phipps. And I'm just going to arbitrarily decide, Erica, you can be Chris Phipps if Chris Phipps gets called to say anything.
Sure.
Chris Phipps' role in this dispute is minimal, I think. Dan, you got the case ready?
I believe I do.
All right. Let's take it away. Courtroom 3.
All rise. Oyez, oyez, oyez. The Honorable Judge Sorry, I lost the judge name. First day on the bailiff job, and it's already going down.
It's Judge Scarlia.
Judge Scarlia is now sitting for the dispatch of this honorable court's business. You, all of you, may be seated. Good morning, Judge. Sorry for that little mix up there. The first case on the docket is Mangiani versus Odell. It appears to be a case of haunting rights between two ghosts who would like to haunt the same person. Plaintiff Mangiani, if you would please state your case.
Yeah, Your Honor, I'm Leroy Mangiani. here's the deal. When you get somebody that you're haunting, and you're going along, you're sort of haunting them for a long time. It's like it's a back and forth, and you develop kind of a rat-a-tat, if you will. And so I have been haunting Chris Phipps for ages and ages now. Just an absolute terrible person. And it's certainly worthy of the best haunting, which of course means, hey, who do you call? You call Leroy Mangiani for the best haunting. So somebody now is trying to move in on my territory, trying to take over for me. And frankly, I don't need it. I don't want it. And it goes against everything that the Spectral Court stands for. And that's all I have to say, Yana.
Thank you. Let's hear from the defendant now.
Yana, Steve Adele here. I've been haunting Chris Phipps, who is a real scumbag. Let me put that out right up front. I've been haunting him since he was a kid, a real scumbag of a kid. Now, this mook over here, he wants to come in on my territory. I haunted him first. I haunted him when he was 6. I haunted him when he was 7. I haunted him when he was 8. I haunted him when he was 9. I haunted him when he was 10. I haunted him when he was 11. I haunted him when he was 12.
We get the idea, Mr. Odell.
Your Honor, I was here first. I've made this kid's life a living hell ever since he was born. Tell this other mook, shove off. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mangiani.
Yes.
Do you claim that you were haunting this person before your opponent here?
In fact, I do. I've been haunting him since he came out of, well, his mother. That's how that works. And ever since that day, I got assigned to the case because we knew that old Phipps was going to grow up and be a little toot, as my mama used to say, a little toot. And Phipps has been a toot. And so I've been there, Leroy Mangiani, you know, I've been there. I've been taking care of things, making sure Mr. Phipps stays. Mr. Phipps stays haunted. So I don't know. I don't even know. I didn't know that this ghost was apparently here, you know, haunting ever since. It's been like 10 or so years. It's kind of hard whenever you're a ghost. I started to recognize this other ghost.
Can you tell me the nature of your haunting, Mr. Mangiani? What sort of things do you do in the course of your day?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jan, I love to talk about this.
At length, because we do have a time limit here.
Stall a little more and then tell him.
Understood. Well, one of my favorite things to do, you know how some people will carry a glass of water to bed? They set it on the nightstand. One of my favorite things to do, sort of exude my spectral influence to cause the water to just evaporate into the air. So when Mr. Mangiani wakes up in the morning, there ain't no water in his glass.
Your Honor.
That's hilarious. I believe we... Bailiff, is that somebody coming?
Bailiff.
This guy.
Order, all right. Order, settle
Judge,
down.
Wait till you see what a scumbag this dude is.
All right, let's bring our witness up to testify. Please, Bailiff, swear the witness in.
Indeed. Chris Phipps, please raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Never told the truth.
Yeah.
Hey, you got Mr. Plaintiff, Mr. Mangiani, please be quiet.
You're under oath.
Thanks. Right. Yeah, Your Honor, I'd like to tell you, I never seen either one of these ghosts in my life. Not a one.
They're ghosts. You've never seen them.
I drink a lot of water, and I wake up several times in the night to drink the water. That glass is empty because I drank that water.
Okay, so are you claiming that you have never been haunted by any ghost or these particular ghosts?
I have never been. Until I got here today, I didn't think there was such a thing as a ghost.
Is it true that you're a scumbag? Because they both say you're a scumbag.
That is a ridiculous assertion. Although many people have said that to me over the course of my life.
Your Honor, scumbag is in the eye of the beholder.
Hey, Mr. Mangiani, I'm not going to caution you again. Mr. O'Dell, I'd like to ask you the same question I asked Mr. Mangiani. What's the nature of your haunting of this witness?
Here's what I do. I wait until he's asleep, right? And he's got this empty glass of water on the nightstand. I fill it up.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
I'm trying to overhydrate him, make him get up and go and pee a lot. Yeah, really messing with his head.
Witness, do you ever have any excess trips to the bathroom in the course of the night? Is that something that you experience?
I don't know what you mean by excess. I mean, I do get up to pee.
Yeah, you do, you scumbag.
Your Honor, we think we need a decision. We've got a lot of other cases on the docket today.
Thank you, Bailiff, for keeping us in order. I think you're right. I'm not sure whether this witness is in fact being haunted or is simply unable to keep track of her own water intake. Perhaps that's something that being a scumbag will cause. The two ghosts that are attempting to haunt this victim seem to have the complaint. The victim doesn't seem to believe that she's being haunted at all. So I feel like neither party should be victorious in this case because neither has proved that they are actually causing any distress to this defendant. So if they are this a witness, so if they are haunting her, they're doing a really crappy job of it.
Well, Booniversity is very expensive, Your Honor.
All decisions are final.
As Chris Phipps leaves the courtroom, winks at both of the ghosts.
Just an absolute toot.
All right, I believe we have another case on the docket. Let me just, God, it's such a stack of them here these days. I just, let me flip through them here. Ah, yeah, this one. Okay, all right. We got Plaintiff Turnbull and Defendant Wong. This is a bit of a tenancy dispute between the ghost plaintiff and the living property owner. So, Plaintiff Turnbull, could you make your case, please?
We're just a second here. The clerk is still distributing some paperwork. I believe that Brian, you're going to be the plaintiff, and Erica, you're going to be the defendant.
All right, please make a case.
Hello, my name is McDougal Turnbull. I am a very peaceful ghost. I've been living here at 1919 Sherman Street, and I was promised eternal life and home here. But these new owners are trying to get me out of my home. Now all I do is relax and read my books and drink my tea and maybe sing some spooky arias in the middle of the night. But for some reason, I'm not allowed to be here anymore through devious legal chicanery. This defendant here needs to leave me in the house. Thank you very much. You look very nice today. And frankly, so do I.
Thank you, Mr. Turnbull.
Defendant, are you prepared?
I am.
Please state your case.
I am Sarah Wong. I live at 919 Sherman Street. And yes, it's true that this ghost has been inhabiting the attic and has been legally evicted, Your Honor. Here I have the paperwork for you. This is really, I'm sorry, just a sad attempt to claim some sort of right to stay based on some unwritten agreement with the previous owner. The previous owner is now dead and they're not even bothering to haunt this house. I have absolutely no record. The real estate agent had no record. I didn't know there was going to be a ghost until I got here. So I started filing the paperwork immediately. It's come through, as you can see. I have handed it to the bailiff. I just want to live my life in peace until I eventually pass on and join the noble ranks of the ghosts.
We don't want you to be a ghost yet, but that's okay.
Please don't address the defendant. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wong. Mr. Turnbull, do you have any evidence of your legal right to stay in this house?
I received a verbal, real, human, honest-to-goodness promise from the previous owners.
And that's the extent of your evidence?
I'm coming up with a name for the previous owners. Now, the Wrangles used to live in this house, and they gave me a very real, very spirited permission to stay and live here. However, it is news to me that they have passed on and been deceased. Now, defendant, is that something you've heard and had proof of firsthand? I thought.
Please don't ask questions
of
the defendant. That's something the judge.
That is for the judge to do. Please.
Hey, Judge, how do you know that the
please do not
presume to tell the job they're done. Bailiff, could you please sit this guy
one
down?
One more outburst like that, and Mr. Turnbull, and we'll find you in contempt.
I'm outbursting? Really? With my voice like this? I'm very mild.
Ms. Wong, let me ask you. Bailiff, have you looked at the paperwork that Ms. Wong has provided? Does it appear to be in order?
From what I can tell, Your Honor, although
I realize you didn't go to real estate school, I understand that.
It's a lot of words.
A lot of words. Okay, so what she has on her side is a lot of words. I see, Miss Wong. Were there any indications in the documents you signed when you got the mortgage for your home as to the conveyance of ghosts or other spectral beings?
No, not at all. In fact, my cousin, my second cousin on my dad's side, moved into a house with a ghost, and there had been documentation. Poor Lucy's living with a ghost for the rest of her time in that house. Anyway, so I made extra sure that there would be nothing in the documentation. I read it through. I had my lawyer read it through. I had a ghost lawyer read it through just to be sure.
You had a ghost lawyer. It is impressive that you chose to hire a ghost lawyer. However, Mr. Turnbull, I'm going to ask you one more question, and I ask you to confine your responses to the question. Mr. Turnbull, what indication did you have from this oral agreement with the previous owners that after their deaths, you would be able to continue to stay in this house? I'm looking for a reason to take your side, Mr. Turnbull, and I haven't found it yet.
The fact that they are now dead means that they can write their own spectral agreement on ghost paper, and I was hoping that upon their death, we would reconvene in the afterlife to write an eternal agreement, which is what they promised to me. Now, I did not know that they were dead, and I would like to reach out to them before we make a conclusion on this case, Your Honor.
That's just some legal gobbledygook. Ruling is for the defendant.
Oh. All rulings are final.
Adam Rangel, where are you? Write me a ghost contract.
Wow. Another thrilling day of justice here at Ghost Court. So many litigants, so many defendants, so many plaintiffs, so many wonderful bailiffs and judges. I think that the only thing left for us to do today, people, is vote on who our most valuable ghost is, our MVG. Living people are eligible for this this title.
What? They're just, what is a person if not a pre-ghost, Monty?
Yeah, we were, well, there was an earlier case about eligibility an exclusion.
You got to accept
so
all rulings
would
are
take
final.
A moment. Yeah, if we will take a moment, there's a quick survey link in the chat. I'll wait until we get a couple responses here, and then I will announce the MVG, which will is making this slightly more like a game show and less like the nonsense than it was.
MVG.
I appreciate that the real world is leaking in so much that we just evicted a ghost from a long time house.
Let's, as the results are coming in here, let us just remind ourselves of some of the rulings here in Ghost Court. So first up, Hersey versus Tamlin. Remind me, how did that turn out for the BMW driving Hersey versus Tamlin hanging out
totally
under a bridge?
Totally not great. It's going to take 100 years for my car to get fixed, and I really don't appreciate it.
I mean, you can get it fixed sooner. You just have to pay for it. I'll pay it back
over
1,000 years
a week.
And eternal high insurance prices.
I don't appreciate it.
I believe Sturt Hannes versus Sturt Hannes was second with the ghost dog. The very unorthodox requirement that the dog be cut in two and delivered to both, neither of whom really wanted a ghost dog.
Arguably orthodox, given its biblical nature.
We had Jenkins versus Lucretio about, that was a employer-employee dispute about haunting of ye olde well. And I think we, there was a, you know, kind of, that was kind of a, technically, I believe, finding in the favor of the plaintiff, but seemed like a little bit of a negotiation in terms of getting Jenkins to change their well-related hauntings.
Yeah, everybody won. That was good judging right there.
Good judging.
Fine judging.
Prohl v. Foxwell, another personal injury claim and outside of a dry cleaner.
With pizza
and
I just want pizza now.
Pizza,
man.
Involved a lot of pizza involved information there, and I believe that again, you know, that we're seeing a lot today about ghost rights and the liability that one engages in when doing dramatic haunting. In that, I believe Foxwell was ordered to tone it down and be mindful of the effects of
less amazing at my job.
Yeah. I'm hoping Cornelius and Agatha are gonna settle out of court, if you get my
gasp.
Mangiani versus Odell, classic case, two ghosts wanting to haunt the same person. Chris Phipps, real piece of work. Real scumbag. Piece of work. Real piece of work. I believe that case was basically thrown out. Was that the final order there?
Yes, that was
it. Yeah, because of that toot. And
Turnbull v. Wong, you know, classic landlord tenant, where, you know, usually, you know, in the state of Ghost Court, tenants have a lot of rights, but not today, as Turnbull was evicted for not having the proper things in order. I am stalling as
revenge.
I'm just waiting.
Don't worry.
Let's see. I think I'm waiting on
sandworm territory.
One more vote. Has everyone had a chance to vote?
Hey, Turnbull, I've got a person. You just have to say his name three times. He'll solve everything.
No, no.
Fleischman, Fleischman, Fleischman.
It's a time for a show to appear.
I thought that was his lawyer's firm.
Fleischman, Fleischman, Fleischman.
This is exciting. I've got, it is a three-way tie. I was waiting for somebody else to vote, and then I realized, like, nope, this is divisible by the number of people here.
did you vote, Tony?
I did not vote. Want to break a three-way
tie? Now that you know the other results, you can pick a winner.
I think I'm just going to leave it with a three-way tie. I think that's in the spirit of the game. It is a three-way tie for most valuable ghosts between Micah, Monty, and Erica. I think that is delightful. I appreciate all of you for bringing a variety of dead and soon-to-be-dead people to Ghost Court. I think we did a lot of... the cosmic scale.
Aspirationally dead.
Those decisions got harsher than I thought.
Yeah. I think we did a lot of important work here today.
Real spiritual work here today, people.
Thank you for playing Ghost Court. I will thank our various people. Glenn, thank you for being here and providing justice and judgments.
Thank you for allowing me to ruin things once more. Got them out.
Always. James Thompson, always a pleasure.
I accept the court's findings.
Kathy, we're going to have to talk about both where you haunt and where you are haunted vis-a-vis the danger involved in those.
As long as there's appropriate signage, I'm fine. Just we got to clarify and confirm the rules on that.
Micah Sargent, definitely not a toot.
Yeah, thanks so much. It was a pleasure being here.
Dan Morin, thank you for bailiffing as well as being a litigant.
It's my distinct and honorable pleasure.
Shelley, tough but fair judgment.
Thank you. I no longer feel the need to go to law school, so I appreciate your fixing that hole in my life.
What a savings this podcast is. Monty, very memorable ghost judge.
Was it clear that Judge Tom B. Stone was an ancestor of Judge Harry Stone?
Who yes, Harry I got Anderson it.
Played on Night Court? No.
Hey.
That's good.
Yep, yep.
Hey. I get it now.
That's good. Now I get it.
Erica Ensign, best bailiffing that you can get out there. You know, when you need law and order, you go to Erica.
Also, guest starring as a witness. She gets points for that, too.
I'm pretty strict, so, yeah.
It's true.
Beware.
And last but certainly not least, Brian Hamilton, thank you for being here.
This podcast was not legal advice. Please refer to an actual lawyer before you actually go to any ghost court.
Listeners, I hope you enjoyed that. If you would like to try this out yourself, please check out Ghost Court. Always good to support independent games. Thank you for listening to Game Show. Good night.